Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel, and I'm still broadcasting to you from Mercer Island in Washington State. So the last thing that we learned at Kuf Beis Amud Beis was that Rava is mechalik between the type of slippers, piliot, that are made out of ore, made out of skin, made out of leather, which are considered to be Asra and Yom Kippur, and the Bilya Shel Beged, which is considered to be okay, and it's like a slipper that's made out of material, which is all right, and that does not have a din of a minhol, and that answers all of the contradictions that we saw earlier. Today the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rava. Tanik Avas to Rava, we see clearly in our Braisa, that makes this actual distinction. Chatzal b'min al hanifram. If you do chalitza with a shoe that was half detached from the sole, but it's still chofed rov haregel, what's left is still sufficient to cover most of the foot, or besandal hanivchat, or a sandal that has some of the sole eaten away, but that's mekabel, that's rov haregel, or besandal shell, if somebody makes a sandal made out of wood materials, like sha'an, which is a type of woodiness, or sieve, which is a woody growth that grows around the bottom of a palm tree, or bamboo, as with the sha'an, or bekav hakita, or using the prosthesis for someone who is an amputee, or bemuk, which is a type of slipper that's made out of felt, or besmichat haraglayim, somebody whose feet are not usable, who drags them along by walking on crutches, usually makes some type of device so that his feet will not be damaged as he drags them along, just something like a shoe, or manpilia shel or, using a leather slipper, this is the important point, ve'acholetet min hagadol, somebody who does chalitza to a yavam who is of age, ben omeid, ben yoshev, ben motal tzido, although the chachila one does have to stand during chalitza, because chalitza has a halacha like a gemar din, and the balei dinim have to stand, as we'll see later on. But b'diavad, certainly, it's not going to be ma'akev. That's how Tosfos understands it. The Rashba understands that chalitza is kosher, even the chachila, yoshev, mota, no matter how the yavam is sitting, that we'll see later on. In any event, if the choletzet got chalitza from a yavam who was blind, who could not see the spit, now we might have thought that such as has to be the yarkalifanov, that it has the same as the dayan, it has to be able to see it. In all of these cases, chalitza tek shira. Aval b'minal ha'nifram she'in chofet rov haregel. On the other hand, if she gets chalitza from a shoe that doesn't cover most of the foot, or b'sandalein v'chad she'inam kabelet rov haregel, or where the sandal is missing more than rov of the sole so that it doesn't cover most of the foot, u'b'smichat ha'yadayim, or with something that is made for the hands for a person who cannot walk on his feet, so that he makes a leather device to prevent his hands from being damaged. And I think that might be similar to a shoe on a foot. Or ban pilia shel beged, or with a sandal. I mean, a slipper that's made out of material. Or a choletzet min hakatan, someone who gets chalitza from a yavam who is a katan. In all these cases, chalitza tapsula. In any event, we see clearly what Rava said. There's a difference between an anpilia, which is made out of a beged, and an ampilia, which is made out of leather. So the Gemara now asks the contradiction in the actual braisa itself. The one that you said, kav hakita. Okay, now kav hakita is going according to whom? Mani. That kosher would be kosher to take off the prosthesis is only going according to Rabbi Meir. The tanan hakita yotze bekav shelo. It's mutter for somebody who's an amputee to walk on Shabbos wearing his prosthesis, according to Rabbi Meir. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Oser, so according to Rabbi Meir, the kav hakita is considered to be the equivalent of a shoe, and it's like a beged. In which case, that would be the din, vis-a-vis chalitza as well. And yet, the Braita continues to say, ban pilia shel beged, the chalitza psula. Now that clearly can only be going aliba the rabbanan. The rabbanan argue on Rabbi Meir about kavakita, and therefore they hold it's not considered to be a minhag. According to Rabbi Meir, if a kavakita is considered to be a nal, so then that means he obviously does not darshan that it has to be made out of leather from vanal chatachash. So then why wouldn't an anpilia also be considered to be a na'al? So how do we explain now the contradiction in the brayso? Well, Rabbi made a sefer rabbanan. Look, you've shown that the sefer can only be going according to rabbanan because according to Rabbi Meir, there should be nothing wrong with a slipper that's made out of material any more than there is with a kavakita that's made out of wood. So then we'll have to say that Reisha Nami Rabbanan. Undoubtedly, the Reisha is the Rabbanan. And the reason that in the Reisha it's considered to be a Na'al, in this case, the Gabi Chalitza, is because it's talking about Memechufe Or. The prosthesis is indeed here coated with leather. And therefore, it's considered to be a Na'al here, even according to the Rabbanan. Normally, Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, according to what you're saying, that the Reish is talking about Dafka, if the prosthesis is covered with leather. So, Val'ena Mechupa Or, what would be the benefit? If it isn't covered with leather, would be a Chalitza Psula. Ihachi, so then if that's the case, Adatani Seifa, why then in the Seifa of the Brisa does it have to say that the Psula is talking about Banpilia Shel Beged, which is over there, not much of a Chiddush, that's Bechlal not considered to be a Nal, and it's not even considered to be a proper something that properly cares for your foot, that protects your foot, which is a din in being no'ul, that means to be protected, min alecha, same lashon, which is why leather is important, liflog bedida. Why don't we make the same type of distinctions we're making all through the price? So let's say we talk about a goro, we talk about a cotton, same thing over here, we should talk about a prosthesis of one type, meaning of or, and a prosthesis that isn't of or. So say the same case. Talk about Bamed, Varmamur, when do we say that Chalitza is good when you're talking about a prosthesis that's Dafke b'mechupe or? Only if it's covered with leather, Avil, ain't a mechupe or puzzle. But why in the world would you want to begin once again here instead of contrasting it, contrast it with a similar case? Not just contrast the case which is Bechalal, doesn't have, it's two completely different things. Elamar Rava, therefore, Rava says, I say just the opposite. Since the Reisha is clearly going according to Rabbi Meir, the Seifa is also going according to Rabbi. And even though Rabbi Meir does not hold that you need for a Na'al to be made out of leather dafka, because after all, he does say a Kav, which is made out of wood, is considered to be a kosher chalitza, but there's still a difference. Hai Megin. The Kavakita certainly, as a prosthesis, protects his foot. Because it is tough. But hi, the non-leather slipper that's just made out of cloth, lo megin, it doesn't actually protect his foot. It says it doesn't protect his foot. It's not considered to be na'al in the sense of min alecha. Omra meimar. Hai mandachol. It's a meimar points out that a yovam who does chalitza, tzorech lemit chasei lekare. He has to now force his foot onto the ground. Now, this is a question of here among the Rishonim, whether this means the Chatchila, or even B'dievet, the Chalitza would be possible. So this is a big machlokas. The Rush holds that the Chalitza is kosher B'dievet, because the reason, as the Rush explains, has to press his foot into the ground is in order that there should be a noticeable trouble involved in doing the Chalitza's Hana'ah. Because sometimes the minal that is in Beis Din is a little bit large, and it looks as if it came off by itself. And if it's not that he presses his foot into the ground, it's not nicker that she took it out. But according to Ramban, he holds that it's actually a psul, even b'diavad. So Omar le Ravashila meimar v'atanya, doesn't it say bein omed bein yoshev bein muteh? Doesn't it say that even if he's lying down? So if he's lying down, I mean, how in the world is he pressing his foot into the ground? I mean, the mashma'ut is even he's lying down straight or flat on his back. Ema says on Ema, no, it's got to be talking about that even though he's lying down, but nonetheless, Ema, as long as, Ulo Alam Dadochis Lakari, as long as he presses his foot into the ground, the rest of him can be lying. Obviously, that doesn't mean he doesn't have to necessarily, according to this pshat, press with his entire weight, since his weight is now supine. Another thing that Amemar says, if Amemar, I man, the maske, lichata de kare, somebody whose foot is damaged, and when he walks basically on the upper part of his foot instead of on the lower part of his foot is bent. Lo chalitz. There's no way for such a person to do chalitza because that is not considered to be a normal regel, and you can't take the nal me'al raglo because over here his regel is afuch. Omele ravashla me'mer vatanya, does it not say that if you use for chalitza in the bright that we just had, that besmuchot, we said, if you smuchot haraglayim, if you have leather coverings on feet that are being dragged by somebody who's walking on crutches, that the chalitza is kosher. I mean, I love, isn't it talking about the chalitza ba'ihu? That is the foot that you did the chalitza on. I mean, that is that the point that it's making the braisa? So that v'chor, that would be, it's saying over here, it's a kosher chalitza on that foot that's wearing that device. Means he gives that leather device to a person who has a normal foot, and that person does chalitza, and it's just telling me that, and forget about the problem of the foot, this person has a normal foot, it's just telling me that the device is similar to a nal, and therefore it's kosher as a nal, but the person himself whose foot is a fucha is not going to be able to be the one that gets chalitza. Omer Avashi, according to this, according to what Amemar is saying, that someone whose foot is damaged and he walks with the foot bent over, so he can't do chalitza, according to this, lav bar uva chalitza, lav bar kifof chalitza. And then people that are uvas and kifofs are not considered to be kosher l'chalitza. Because as the Gemara talks about in Moed Kotten, that there was a Maisa, if you recall, Rav Ashi said, what are you going to say for me as a Hesped? And they told him over what they were planning to say, and Rav Ashi was depressed about what he had heard, and because of that, so they're called, they became now lame. We discussed it over there, what the Mita Keneged Mita was, but in any event, that's Uva and the Bar Uva and the Bar Kifutz, which were the guys who were damaged by that Maisa, they're not kosher for Chalitza. Okay, that's for the Ramazim over here, Lagavi, that story. But the next piece that's important to us now is the Mishnah that says, Minarkuva Velamata Chalitza Tokshar. As long as the shoe was removed from the part that's beneath the knee, it would be kosher. Ramin, we said now in a brisa, Lagabi the din of Shalosh Regalim Bashana, over there that's the din, the mitzvah of Chiyuv, of mitzvah of Riyah, to go to be Chogeg Shalosh Regalim Bar Tochogu. So over there we darshan Regalim, since the way that the Torah refers to the holidays is by using the word feet, it means Prat Labale Kabi. So somebody who is now an amputee, and he's walking now with some type of prosthesis, or that is considered to be not chayev in re'ia, since he doesn't have usable feet, even though lemaisa he may have a leg, which shows that regalim does not include the shok, the leg, and therefore why would chalitza be okay? Doesn't it say me'ar aglo? Yes, indeed, but that's the point, isn't it? Shaini hacha by chalitza, as we darshed earlier, may al raglo, that it also means from that which is above the foot, which includes the leg, which is the shok. Iyachi, so if that's the case, why can't it be limala menarku v'naima? Can it be above his knee? No, may al means above, but not may al the may al. It certainly can't mean above the above. That's already not considered to be his foot. Omer of Papa, Shmamina. Rav Papa says, you see from here that as far as the halacha is concerned, Hai istavira, the ankle which is the connection between the leg and the foot, certainly is considered to be a single unit. And we consider it to be ad aranachit, that one bone goes all the way down, and there is no other joint between it and the ground that is nechshav as a separate joint for any purposes la'alacha. If you're going to consider this to be separate, so then we should call the istavira itself me'al. In other words, so then the ankle would be me'al, and the shok, which is above the ankle, should be considered itself to be the me'al de me'al, and the chalitza on the shok, which is the leg, would be pasal. On Ravashi, that's not necessarily true, says Ravashi to Rav Papa. Because afilu tema mifsek pasak, even if we view it as a separate bone, nonetheless, called bahadi karaka karadami, anything which is basically on the same exact angle and direction as the leg, as the foot itself, is considered to be the part of the foot, even if it technically may be considered to be two separate bones. It's the clearly, externally distinct articulation that makes this a me'al de me'al. Now, the Mishnah said from the arkuva and above, min arkuva l'mala l'chalitzas pasal. Masiv Rav Kahana. The Torah says, u'bishul yata hayotzeit b'bein ragleha. So, the Torah refers to the klolas of the eating of the afterbirth itself that comes from between the legs. So if that's the case, I mean, that means that the entire thigh is considered to be a foot. And why in the world then do we say that it's considered to be a me'al de me'al? Here it's not even considered to be a me'al. We're calling the regal, which is usually the foot, we're calling the thigh a foot. Amar Abaye, there the implication is the actual foot. Because Bishasha Karat Leilein, we're talking about a woman who is actually birthing. So at that point, no etzadakaveha biyachote violetet. Indeed, at that point, the heels are brought all the way up to the buttocks, at the top of the thighs, so that it's literally bein ragleha. Toshma. Lo asa raglav, lo asa sefamo. So now, when we want to refer to the pubic area, we call it raglav. We're talking about over there, not shaving the genital area. So then, raglav apparently refers to the pubes as well, which would mean that the thigh going all the way up is considered to be foot. And since the Gemara there, it's clearly a euphemism. We use the word raglav. We don't want to talk about something that is a solo class. Tashma, let's bring another raya. Vayavo Shaul ha-sechet raglav. It was talking about Shaul going into the cave, and it says that he went to move his bowels, but the way it talks about moving his bowels is to cover his legs, which is mashma that the thighs are basically considered to be part of the regal. And it says the Gemara, but here too, it's clearly a euphemism. It's Lishlam Ha'ya. Tashma, ach meisichu raglav bechadar ha-mikera. Here too, it's talking about the king using the bathroom. This is when Ehud ben Gera was coming to kill Eglon, and he closed the doors to the aliyah and jumped out the other side. So the people who were worried about what's doing with Eglon were embarrassed to go in because they felt that Eglon was using the bathroom. So, but in any event, the way it refers to using the bathroom is Mesich Raglav. Says the Gemara there too, it's Lishna Me'alya. As the Gemara, how about the posek that refers to Sisra and Yael? And there it's talking about basically Sisra's falling between the thighs, which is over there, was talking about actually sleeping with her, and she wore him out that way. And there it says Bein Raglea Kara, and obviously that was her thighs, not her feet. It says the Gemara there too, it's Lishamal, you're referring to intercourse. We want to use a euphemism. Om Rav Yochanan Sheva Bi'ilot Ba'alot Torah Shabbat Yom. Sisera, with Yael, she turned him on to get him totally tired out. 7 times he slept with her. Shnemar ben raglea kara nafal shachav. Ben raglea kara nafal basher kara sham nafal shadut. So in the song of what Sisera had done, Chana's song, it talks now 7 times a lotion of kara, nafal, shachav, referring basically to 7 times his coming with her. But how could she do this, even though she felt it was necessary to do this in order to kill the guy? But nonetheless, how do we talk about her as Tivorach Minashim Yael, as if she's the greatest person in the world? I mean, the bottom line is, even though Godel Aver Lishmo, we learned out from Mimitra Shalolishma, but the bottom line is that she nonetheless was enjoying herself over here, and therefore, how could we call her something so great after having enjoyed the Maisa Avera? Om Reb Yochan, Mishur Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, it's not true that she enjoyed herself. The Kol Tovatan Shel Rasha'im, any joy that a person would have when it's with a Rasha, is for Tzadikim, is considered to be Ra'ah, it's a Tzadikim. And they look down at it and feel that they're suffering in having to do with it. They're so disgusted with Rasha'im. For Tzadekes, on the level of Ya'el, it was nauseating to be sleeping with Sisera. And we find by Lavan, Shenemar, Yishomer lecha pent adamerim Yaakov mitov adra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Lavan against speaking with Yaakov about anything, even good. So Bishlam Ra, okay, I understand God wants to warn him against saying something not right, but L'chaye, very good, Shukayach. But Ela Tov, Amaylo, why does he not want Lavan to speak something good? Unless it teaches us that even something good from a Rasha is nauseating to the Tzaddik. So Tovatan Shereshaim, Ra'ahi, hates the Tzaddikim. So they hate the Rasha'im, and therefore it's not considered to be a Hana'ah at all. So I think, well, how can you bring a raya from there? I mean, when it comes to Lavan, of course it's disgusting, but it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to speak, because basically, I mean, even when he was speaking, he said, Lavan ganavta et Elohai. He mentions already that these are his gods. So of course that's disgusting. But I mean, what is so bad for sleeping with somebody? It's fun. What's so bad about it? I mean, you may not like the guy. Can't you just enjoy the sex? Says the Gemara, no. The kashadi bezuama, because the act of intercourse, if it's from a rasha, brings filth into the person. They feel defiled by it. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Misha Shabbat Nachash al Chava Hitil bezuama. When the Nachash Kadmoni in Gan Eden slept with Chava, he basically inserted into her a filthiness, which now spread to all humankind. Yisrael sham dual har Sinai paskazu amatat. So Klal Yisrael, the Remed on Har Sinai, lost that ugliness, that physicality that made them so animalistic, that left them. But Ovdeko chavim shalom du par Sinai lo paskazu amatat. Goyim still have that. And that, Yael was damaged by it, so didn't want that. And that was more to her, that took away any joy that she would have had in having sex with him. The next thing we saw in the Mishnah is that Chatzar Minal She'eno Shelo, the Minal does not have to be his own. Nonetheless, it's Chavitza Ksheira. Tana Rabbana, it says in the Pasuk, V'chatzar Na'alo. Doesn't Na'alo mean his own Na'al? So I would think, Einli Ela Na'alo, maybe from there I would have assumed that the chalitza is kosher, only if it's his own now. Now, shekol adam minayin. Well, how do we know that even if it belongs to someone else, it would also be kosher? Talmud Lomar, therefore, when it continues on in the parsha, it says, v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael, beit chalutz ha-na'al. That is just na'al. That's an extra na'al to tell me, na'al, not na'alo. So it doesn't say beit chalutz na'alo. And that means na'al mikol makom, as long as it was a na'al, whether it belongs to him or not. Im kein ma'atam ulomar na'alo. Then why did the Torah begin the parsha by talking about chatzad na'alo dafka, which is bashba dafka him? That's to tell me, yes, dafke him in the sense that it has to fit him. Na'alo hara'uilo. It has to fit his foot. Prat gadol she'ne yochol alochbo. And therefore, that's the reason the Mishnah actually passes a shoe that is so big that he's unable to walk with it without tripping. Uprat lekatan she'ne yochol fero raglo. Or a shoe which is so small that it doesn't cover most of his foot. Uprat lesadalam suyayim she'ne lo akev. And this also excludes a sandal that does not have a sole on it. There were actually Gedolei HaChassidim that walked without soles so that they would be walking on the dirt, but who had a covering on top of beautiful leather for the chashivas of their status.
Yes.
And this is not considered to be kosher, because it's not considered to be chofer raklo and to be a mino. Not to be a na'al. Abai avikoi kamene Rav Yosef. Abai was standing once in front of Rav Yosef, and a yavama shows up. Asa yavama lachlotz, yavama comes to his best of chalitza. Omar leis Rav Yosef said to Abai, havli sandalach, give the yavam your sandal, so that it will be good, because I know your sandal was good for chalitza. So Yoivle sandala de smala. Abaya took off his left sandal. Omale, and Rav Yosef said to him, Emudabar Abadan b'niavat l'chatchilim yamar. In the Mishnah, where the chalitza says that if you do chalitza on the left leg, that it's kosher. So kosher means the avat, it's kosher, but l'chatchila, It's not what the way to do it. So why are you giving him your left sandal? Then why don't you also say that if it's not his own sandal, it's also not lechatchila? You could say the same thing. The Mishnah says, if he used a sandal that wasn't his, it's kosher. So, of course, this was a trick that Abaya was doing in order to not say anything embarrassing to Rav Yosef, but he wanted to make it clear that it was a problem. So he got the catalyzer of Yosef's response, which enabled him to ask, why is it exactly the same drasha of the words of the Mishnah to say that the sandal, she'eino shelo, is only b'di avad? Why are you asking me for my sandal then? Says Rav Yosef, I didn't mean to give him your sandal, to lend him your sandal. I meant to give him your sandal and to let him make a kinyan on your sandal, sure it should be his. The sandal to him, so that it should be a gift to him, and then the chalitz will be kosher, even l'chatchila. And that's what I meant over here. The next thing that we learned in the Mishnah is that sandal that's made out of eights, the chalitza is kosher. Now, that means that who is the author of our Mishnah? Mantana, obviously is Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the one who says, L'gabe Shabbos, that Akitea, someone now is an amputee, is Yotze B'Kavshelo, the Rabbi Meir. He views now the prosthesis to be a shoe, even though it's made out of eights. Rabbi Yossi Osir, Rabbi Yossi says, something that's made out of eights is not considered to be a nal. So the same way that Rabbi Meir holds it's a nal vis-a-vis Shabbat, he holds it for chalitz, it's also considered to be a nal. Avu de Shmuel Omer, and that's not true. The Mishnah could be talking about a case where it's bechupeor, where it's covered now with a leather cover, and therefore we'd be going even according to Rabbi Yosi v'divrei Akol. Since it's covered with leather, it does have a din of a nal, and therefore it would be kosher chalitza. Omer of Papi, Mishbei de Rava, sandal hamuzgar. If you have now a sandal that had on it a nega, the Kohen puts it away now for 7 days to test the nega, which is the halacha. Lo tachalotzpa. Lechatchila is not kosher chalitza, because we're afraid that you may use a sandal that is actually muchlat. Muchlat means after we already tested it for the periods that it requires hezger, and we saw that the nega did not go away, that it spread, who was what the halacha is, that if it was chalut, and then the Kohen had to clearly announce that it was actually vadai enega. In that case, we're going to see from the pasuk that it's not kosher. But therefore, we make a gezeira that even if it's muzgar, it shouldn't be used lechatchila. But im chaltsa chalitzata kshera, since in this case it's not meant to be burned, we'll see later on why that would be a problem. So there's not really a problem to arise, it's just that there's a gezeir. Sandal muchlat, on the other hand, we're over there, the dega spread, or even after the second week, after the second hezger, it was now muchlat, because it didn't shrink at all, lo tachalotzpo, and there, not only should you not do chalitza v'chatchila, but im chaltza, chalitza v'chatchila. The dude over there is, the chalitza is even pasul b'diavad. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar Echad Sadal Mezkar VeEchad Sanel Muchlat Lo Tachlotz Bo VeIm Chaltza Chalitza Takshira. Whereas Rav Papa says, oh, that's not true. The halacha is that it's true that Lechatchila one should not do Chalitza. However, the Chalitza is kosher b'diavad, even if it's Muchlat. Meitven. And we ask on this from the case of Bayit HaMuzgar. In a case where you have a house that had been closed up by the Kohen to see whether the nega would come back. And so a metame mitocho is metame, and the inside of it is metame if it's touched, bimaga, even if you don't go into the house, and there's no din of the bayit, it's similar to, it's called tumas bia, which is similar to tumas oil in certain ways, but if you touched the inside of the walls, you would become tame. Whereas a muhalat is metame even from the outside of the walls. So if you touched the outside part of the kotel, you would still be tame. Vezeh, whether it's muzgar or murklat, betamim bevia. If you go into the house, even without touching it, you become tame, because the pasuk said, v'haba al habayit yitba ad ha'arev. Now, isakatayitav, kidimichta dami. If you're going to tell me, which I assume is the whole problem over here, now, once you are muhlat, then it's considered to be omed l'sreifa. And if it's omed l'sreifa, it has no shear. And that's called ktute michtat shiuri. It's as if it's already been rubbed away because it has no chashivas. Then why would it be metame bevia? Does it not say vahaba el habayit? If you have a bayit abuchlat, it's not called a bayit, because it doesn't have a shear of a bayit. Says the Gemara, and that may be true, but shayne hasab, a bayit amenuga, the Torah nonetheless gives it a din of a bayit, despite the fact that it doesn't have a shear. The omakra vinatatzat habayit, means a feel b'shat netitsa, korui bayit. It says over there, break the house down, which means the Torah is giving it a din of a house, despite the fact that it's muhlat. Tashma matlit. Here it says, if you have a rag, sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh, which is as large as 3x3 figure breadths, afa pi she'en bo kizayis, even though now this matlit is very thin cloth, doesn't have it a 3x3 piece, the shear of a kizayis, kivan she'nechnas ruba labayit, Tahar, Timatu. So this matlit with a nega on it, once it goes into a house, which is Tahar, it's metame everything that's in the house, because a beged with a maga is metame bebia. My love, is it not speaking over here where the matlit is muchletet? And if Rav Papi is right, that a muchlet is considered to be ktute michtat shiure, the shear is rubbed away, then if that's the case, it is not shalosh ha-shalosh anymore, and it should not be able to be metame b'oya, or b'biya. Answers the Gemara, lo, it's not talking about a matlit which is muhletet, it's talking about a matlit which is muzgeret. Since it's muzgeret, it's not omeid to be burned, and therefore it's considered to have a shear. Says the Gemara, yachi, but if that's the case, eba seifa. Ayuba kama zeitim. The sefer continues on to say, even if it's very large, and it has, like, many, many zeitim in it, kivan shenichlas mimena kezayit labayit tahor timatu. Once one shear of a kezayis goes into a bayit tahor,
It would be, but Tamiyat, even though Rove was not Nichlens. So, Yavit Bishleim, if you're going to tell me that the Brayta is talking about a Mukhletet, that would explain the halacha that it's dependent in a Kazayat. I know that's because the Itkar Shlamet, a Nega that is Mukhlat, has the same din as a mate, al notahika mate, is what we learned out from Miriam. And therefore, the same way that a mate is betame b'kizayit, a nega that is mukhlat is betame b'kizayit. Eliam, if you're going to tell me that the Braita is talking about muzgeret, where the matlit is not a mukhletet, where is there a hekesh of a muzgar to a mate? Amayit kash lamate, why is it dependent now in the share of a kizayit? Therefore, what we're going to have to say is, Ella, not everyone is Gersi Ella, but Rashi and the Bach put in the Ella here. Ella, the Gemara now changes its mind and says, actually, we're talking about a Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a Matli that is Mukhletet, which is Hukash Lebet. And therefore, it's Betame B'Kizayit. The reason over here that it's Betame, even though it doesn't have a Shir, is Shinei Asim. This is a special case. That the Torah says, even as it is being burnt, it's called a beged, despite the fact that it was to the mechta shiuro. So you see from here, just as we darshed earlier about the bayit, afilu b'sha'at sreifa, korui beged. So it's considered to be a beged, even though it's being burnt. V'lig bar minei, why don't we learn out from the din of tumas negayim that something has a shiur, even though it's going to be burnt, and therefore, legabe chalitza should be kosher, even though it's muchlat the sando? Answers the Gemara, because one is a halacha in a shir of tuma, and one is a halacha in a din of iser. And iser vituma lo gamrin, and in general, the halachas of tuma are extremely different. It's called a chiddush. You can't learn from the chiddush in tuma legabe other halachas. Omar Rava, yochasa echad sando la muzgar, v'echad sando she muchlat, Echad sandal shel avodat kochavim, which was a sandal that was put on an actual idol that they were moving from place to place, which meant to be burnt. Lotach alotz should not use such a thing like chalitza, but im chalitza chalitza tak shera, nonetheless b'diavad, it's a kosher chalitza, and this is because a sandal hamuchlat. He holds over here, like Rav Papa said before, we do learn out from Tuma. And just like by Tuma, the Torah should said it's considered to be a beged, that's true, legabe chalitza. And even though normally we don't learn Isser mituma, this is not mamish alimud, it's more of a gilui milsa bialma, that something is called b'shasrefa beged. B'sano shel avodas kochavim is because the avodah zarah of an avodah kochavim is not necessarily amid l'srefa, since if it doesn't belong to a Jew, it's possible to be mavatal, the avodah zarah, then you can use it. So therefore, even before you mavatal it, since there is a way to be mavatal it, it's not considered to be ktuti mechta chiyure. And even if at the current moment you have not done the bittul. Tosfos argues, this is Rashi holds, but Tosfos holds that this is true only ech la'acher habittul. And once you're mavatal, it's not amid l'sreifa. But up until that point, it would be considered to be. On the other hand, a sandal of takrovas avodas kochavim, which wasn't used for the idol itself, was brought as a sacrifice to the avodas kochavim. So in that case, could be, others learn, that not that the sandal was presented as a gift and a sacrifice, but rather the animal that whose skin it was made from was brought as a sacrifice to avodah zarah. But in any event, as the case may be, whatever sheet you hold up, v'shel irani dachas, irani dachas is definitely yaymed for sreifa. V'shel zakena asui lichvado, it's something that they made for someone who's being buried, v'shas is death, and that's something that is asui lemate, is over here, it's made for the zaken, for his tachrichin, when he will die. So in all of these cases, lo tachlots ve'im chalza chalitza tapsula, because since over here, once it's takroves, you cannot be mevatel takroves, all you can do is burn it. Sando shilino nidach has absolutely nothing to do, you can't buy your way out of being mevatel it. A zokin osu lechvodo,
since it's not meant for walking in, but rather to be buried in, it's not considered to be a knot. Omale Ravina Ravashi, why is it Maishno? What is the difference between the din of a sandal of a zakin and the chvoda, which is possible? The only reason is the lav liyelucha, because it's not made to be walking around in. But if that's the case, all the crazy shoes that they have in Bezdin to do chalitz with, nobody ever walks on them. So the Beidina, the ones that are made for chalitza, should be ipso facto possible, because they're only made for chalitza and not for wearing. That would be really ironic. We go to all the trouble of making a special shoe for chalitza, and the very fact that we made it special for chalitza means it's not usable for chalitza. Or Malaysa Ravashi said, it's not the same, because let's say that the shliach of the Bezdin would want to use it as a shoe. Mikopid ale dayana, would the dayanim be makpid on him and say, no, you can't use it, you can't use it for any other purpose? Of course not. So therefore, since it's no hakpada, it's not considered to be made specifically not for walking.